5787.
Okay.
Now turn it off.
Telecommunications Subcommittee will come to order. We're just going to have a short meeting tonight, in part because what we really have to do is need to bring 3072 back for reasons I'll explain later, and then we'll have a brief hearing on our work session on 2697, which we will not take any action, but I do have some amendments from the PUC I want to get on the record and offer for consideration, and I have another subcommittee to go to, so this is going to be very short.
Chair, you need a motion to bring that back.
Yeah, we will need a motion to reconsider the vote by which we sent House Bill. Representative Anderson moves that we reconsider the motion by which we sent House Bill 3072 to the full committee. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Ibikas?
Aye. We, because we're a subcommittee, we can act on the motion has been adopted. Because we're a subcommittee, we do not have to wait to act on it. At the time, we had not seen actually the amendments prepared by Legislative Council, which we had adopted in concept to create the Statutory Review Committee. I don't. Representative Anderson, somewhere in your file should be amendments to House Bill 3072-3. In discussing this with Legislative Council, the way they approached it was to add a section 113 onto House and 114 onto House Bill 3072. They're doing that because essentially what we're doing is making 3072 law as of a particular date, and so they just added this on to 3072. The way they established this Statutory Review Committee is it's appointed by the President, Senate, and the Speaker of the House, so as to fairly represent the telecommunications industry, the Public Utility Commission or the designee of the commission, the Citizens Utility Board, and other consumer interests in the Legislative Assembly. We left it open as to the numbers, as to how much representation from either the House or the Senate. Do not limit it to one person from the industry. The reason we did that is to try and leave it open so that we made sure some interests were represented, but to leave it open that anybody who had a real particular interest in it would have an opportunity to participate as part of the Study Review Committee, rather than condense it down and one person try and represent the entire industry or one person try and represent consumer groups. So we tried to leave it very open and very flexible rather than specifying it in the specific detail that we often have in other committees and other things we've created.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I noticed in this draft place we left effective date out, and I suppose that because we might not know when we would adjourn 2 years hence.
No, that's because we had the note that was taken down to Legislative Council had January 1st, and I had thought that in our discussions it was actually July 1st, so I had them leave it open. We've gone back through the record, and it should be July 1st. We specify that the review committee, the committee needs to review the provisions of 3072, make recommendation establishing statutes to regulate separate from those for the regulation of energy, transportation, and water, and submit for pre-session filing at the next legislative assembly legislation that establishes separate statutes for regulation of utilities which does not make substantive changes in existing law. Then we allow it to submit other findings and recommendations that the committee determines necessary. lines 25, 26, and 27 are supposed to be deleted upon the recommendation of the Speaker and Legislative Council.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Is it clear in here that this bill that we may be passing is the working thing that we're working from on the committee?
Line 13, 14 says, review the provisions of House Bill 3072. And the effective date and section 114 says that the sections 1 through 112, which is the provisions of 3072, will become law on July 1st, 1989. So I think that's clear that they're reviewing 3072 since it's specifically stated and that's what would become law. Now, what we neglected to do is, since we were making House Bill 3072 law with an effective date of mid-1989, we forgot to add the amendments that have been prepared based upon the review that had already occurred. So I felt that since we were going to make it law, we ought to go back and at least add the amendments. That's really the reason why I brought it back to the subcommittee, the dash one amendments, yes. So unless there are some other suggested changes in the dash three amendments, the chair would move that we delete lines 25, 26, and 27 from the dash three amendments. And if there's no objection, so ordered. Chair would move adoption of the dash one amendments of House Bill 3072. Any Representative Rhea?
No problem.
Okay. If there's no objection, so ordered. And Chair would move adoption of the dash three amendments as previously amended to House Bill 3072. Representative
Anderson. With the addition of filling in the date.
Thank you.
July 1.
With the addition of July 1, filling in the blank on line 7, page 2. Hearing no objection, Representative.
Okay, can I ask for one second? I see Mr. Gribling coming and glued.
Certainly. You're moving. Go ahead.
For the record, I'm Ray Gribling. I represent Pacific Northwest Bell. There were a couple of recommendations that we made to the subcommittee the last time because of the dash three amendments. On line 15, it says, make recommendations establishing statutes to regulate telecommunications. That's what we have done with line 22 through line 24. Submitting to for pre-session filing at the 65th Legislative Assembly proposed legislation. Well, we're passing legislation, so there is no proposed legislation. There might be some cleanup, but we're not proposing new legislation here.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Let's see. Are you not lines 22 through 24, but really 18 through 21?
18 through 21. In 22 to 24, it was our suggestion to change the language on, let's see, on line 24, after the word clarify, to add the separation of regulation of telecommunications from the regulation of energy, transportation, and water. Now that takes care of the 15 to 17.
So we would delete 15 and 17, and we would add the separation. We would add the part of the language from that into
line 24.
Okay, why don't you give me that language again, the separation?
The separation of regulation of telecommunications from the regulation of energy, transportation, and water. And Mr. Chairman,
and delete.
I'm sorry.
Delete lines 15 through 17.
Right. Uh, lines 18 through 21 then are not necessary, because you have suggested in lines 22 that you're going to submit to the Legislative Assembly findings and recommendations.
I would tend to think, though, that it is, because we did talk specifically about pre-session filing legislation.
Well, I guess it slips me there, because we are passing a bill that's not effective until July 1989. So there is nothing to pre-session file unless there are substantive amendments to the entire utility statute.
Mr. Chair.
You represent Ms.
It might clear it up if we inserted after filing amendments, the word amendment.
The key in this part is which does not make substantive changes. What we're really after is pre-session filing proposed
corrections
or changes or amendments to 3072.
That's fine, Mr. Chairman.
Something to that effect.
Necessary changes. Recommended changes.
Maybe what we ought to be doing is we ought to we may want to add language to review the provisions of House Bill 3070. Let's see.
And make appropriate recommendations.
Review committee recommendations.
Keep trying.
Well, if we left it the way it is, what we have is a provision of, we would have A, which would be review 3072. Mm-hmm. Makes it clear that that's what we're part of our basic document. Then C, we're talking about submitting for pre-session filing proposed legislation, whether it's amendment or otherwise, it's still proposed legislation. Can't amend it without proposing legislation, so it's we're still asking the pre-session file what amounts to really amendments. Now we could say, we could insert based on the review, based on, you know, what, based on subsection A, submit for pre-session filing. And then we're talking about here maybe other findings or recommendations that might be necessary to facilitate or clarify the separation.
All right.
Okay.
We just don't want anyone to have the impression that we want to rewrite a new regulatory statute.
But if they're going to make any recommendations, it still has to be pre-session filed, and it would still be legislation, whether it's amendments or otherwise.
Mr. Chair. I guess it's my understanding, if the review committee took no action, that on July 1, 3072 is in statute.
If the committee took no action, there would be no amendments pre-session filed before the legislature. It would be up to the legislature. If the legislature took no action, then it would be in effect in July. If the committee found further questions or clarification that was needed for the separation based on not making substantive changes, which I'm assuming that there are going to be some, then they would pre-session file it, and the legislature could adopt those without affecting the July 1st date. The only way the legislature would affect the July 1st date and not make it law would not be through amending the bill, but would be through and taking an action, an affirmative action to negate the
all the bloody work
3072. Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of other amendments. Two of them were called to my attention after the last meeting by Mr. Landau, and it's on page one of the printed bill.
Are they on the?
I have a list of them here.
They do not relate to the dash three amendments.
No, they do not.
Okay, let's make sure I've got the dash three amendments
right.
Taken care of. So we are going to add language on line 18 that's. Based on the review in section A, in sub A, so it would read, based on the review in sub A, submit for pre-session filing at the 65th Legislative Assembly proposed legislation that establishes separate statutes for regulation of telecommunications with utilities which does not make substantive change in the existing law. And then sub D says, submit other findings and recommendations the committee determines necessary to facilitate or clarify the separation of telecommunications from the regulation of energy, transportation, and water. Okay. Chair would move those amendments. Any further discussion? No objection. Amendments are adopted. Okay. Now, we are back on the, do we need to amend the dash one amendments or amend just 3072 in a separate?
3072.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, can we ask Mr. Morrison to come up here to see if he has any, give me notes. You have any, Mr. Morrison, you have any comments on any of these amendments?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
For the record, that's Ed Morrison of PUC. Mr. Ed.
Mr. Chairman, we had gone back through the printed bill, and after Mr. Morrison's people had also reviewed the bill, we found a number of inaccurate things, semicolons missing, so forth. We tried to pick all of these up, and we sent a hand-engrossed bill to Legislative Council so that they could draft the amended 3072-1. They missed a few that we had given them, and so I have picked them up with the amendments that I've posed to you. The first two, however, were ones that were called to my attention by Mr. Landau, principally on line 9 of page 1. It says, as used in sections 1 to 70 of this act, it should have said 1 to 73.
Mr. Chair, I think the numbering will be done automatically by Legislative Council, especially since we have 114 sections now.
But so. These are sections that Representative Brea that probably will not change from your original amendments, from the original amendments from Legislative Council.
Yeah, these are changed.
We're just adding to them.
There is a reference that says I should say 73. And I think we do need to amend that because otherwise we'd be leaving out these sections. Might.
Okay.
Any questions on the additional amendments? Not, Representative Berea moves adoption of the amendments labeled additional amendments to House Bill 3072, presented by Pacific Northwest Bell. Discussion, no objection, amendments are adopted. Any others? Legislative Council is just going to love this. I'll move. Make motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we pass, recommend to the full committee House Bill 3072 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Berea recommends send House Bill 3072 as amended to the full committee, due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Not, clerk call the roll, please.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Berea.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye. Motion adopted. They're going to love this one. Chair will close the work session on 3072 and open the work session on House Bill 2697. Ed, are you going to present the amendments? You don't want to do that? Okay. We have two sets of amendments, is that correct, Ed? Two sets of amendments proposed by the Public Utility Commission, which I'd like to go over today. I don't know how many folks have seen the amendments. After the amendments are presented, it will allow witnesses to come up and respond. This will not be the only time. I just want to get these on the record for our consideration so that we can perhaps move on them at another meeting, but I've got another subcommittee to go to, so we're not going to try and do it today, but I do want to get the amendments presented and allow anybody who is prepared at this time to comment on them. There will be another time for comment. Ed, do you want to go ahead? Which one do you want to take first?
Mr. Chairman, Ed Morrison, Oregon PUC. I'd like to start with the dash one amendments. The dash one amendments are intended to put a little bit of distance between de-tariffing and deregulation on account of competition. So this further defines competition. Section A, price and service competition exists and can be reasonably expected to continue to exist. B, the marginal cost of the petitioner of providing the service is substantially similar to the marginal cost of the of providing the competitive service. That's the major reason. C, competition does not exist within the meaning of paragraph A of this subsection if the petitioner has more than X percent of the market for such service and there is fewer than X alternative providers. That was provided at your suggestion, and we don't think that would be necessary unless you gave us some broad definitions there, because I think for different services we'll have differing problems.
Well, which lines are we talking about?
Section C.
You don't believe that is necessary?
That is not necessary.
I don't think it's necessary. Okay.
Section D.
Didn't come. I'm not sure it came from me.
Mr. Sokolowski wrote these, and he put that in thinking you would need that. A service which is deregulated under this subsection may be regulated after notice of it and a hearing if the commission determines an essential finding on which the deregulation was based is no longer prevailed. That gives us a different standard.
Okay. So the critical elements, you determine that price and service competition exists and can reasonably expect it to exist, continue to exist, and that the marginal costs are similar to the marginal costs of providing competing service.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, let me explain that. In the pricing of utility products, there are many products that are priced 10, 15, 20 times their actual cost, and there may be some induced competition for those products. However, a utility providing them at that price and deregulating them could price them much closer to marginal cost and drive out the competition and be a monopolist again very easily. This is to prohibit that. On the, I can't think of any services that are truly competitive right now where there aren't approximately equal marginal costs. For example, mobile services of the telephone companies are approximately the same price and same cost for any of the telephone companies as it would be for any of their competitors. So this would not be a barrier to deregulation of things that we think are clearly, but it gives, are clearly competitive, but it gives us a different standard so that the fears of the Attorney General that if we deterrent something because it's competitive, that then the utilities will immediately say we must deregulate it, and that is his fear. Mm-hmm.
Let's take the mobile phone example again. You're saying that currently telephone companies offer that service and competitive providers offer, or there's other competitors out there provide the service. And they're providing the service at about at the same, or the marginal costs are approximately the same for.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, in order to get in the business of mobile telephone, you must have a broadcasting network. You must the equipment that you must purchase is virtually similar to that between a telephone company and a private company that isn't a utility, and the marketing is to a specialized group of people, so there isn't even a marketing advantage to the local telephone.
The telephone companies offering the service at essentially the same or a competitive price with the others?
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir.
And the main reason for doing that is so that the standards for de-tariffing and the standards for deregulation are not exactly the same.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions from you?
The mobile thing just sort of piqued my interest a little bit. I understand what you said about someone getting in the mobile business. How about the end customer in remote locations who is a subscriber to that mobile business? How do you handle that regulation as to whether that equipment that goes into that location is paid at market or given, or do you?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, we would be assured by our accountants and auditors that the utility was not subsidizing its own mobile service. If it were truly deregulated, it is not at this point. At that point, and right now, today, in the private industry, there is no regulation of the private providers of mobile service. So they provide whatever service they want to. And there's overlapping jurisdictions so that you find more than one provider in the same place.
I know, my understanding that in very remote locations, like 100 miles from a switch, it took a lot more high-powered equipment to establish that mobile customer?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, yes, it does. It's quite expensive in very, very remote locations, but the expense is the same whether you're a wireline telephone company having to put facilities in a remote area or if you're a private company putting facilities in a remote area.
Well, how do you check the cross-subsidy potential between the switching company who is in the mobile phone business and the private company?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, we are in the middle of making rules, and there is a FCC directive to come up with a cost methodology to allocate these costs properly so that there isn't any cross-subsidy. With something like mobile telephone, where the assets are relatively identifiable, it becomes very